Welcome to Awaken Your Inner Superstar, episode number 54 with Helen Chang. I'm your host, Michelle Villalobos. Join me each week for inspiring interviews and messages to help you experience more freedom, fortune, fulfillment, and fun in your work and in your life. Get ready, superstar. It's time to shine. Every thought leader has a book. If you want to publish a book or want to publish another book, then this interview is for you. In today's episode, I chat with Helen Chang, founder and CEO of Author Bridge Media, about writing and publishing books that drive business. Business being new prospects, speaking opportunities, engagements, partnership opportunities, media, and more. Author Bridge Media has helped over 400 authors write, edit, brand, and publish their books. Clients include Michael Gerber of The E-Myth, Danny Johnson of ABC's Secret Millionaire, and Scott McGillivray of HGTV's Income Property. What I love about Helen is that she's got the full pedigree. Graduated from University of California at Berkeley with a BA in comparative literature. She holds a master's degree in journalism from Berkeley in business reporting. And she also has heart. You can just feel her passion for and dedication to authors, books, and helping superstars like us truly shine. And I think you'll derive a lot of great ideas, strategies, and resources from this interview. Enjoy. Welcome, Helen. I'm so excited to have you here with us today to talk about how to build your brand and thought leadership by publishing a book. You ready?
Yay! Yes. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're welcome. All right, cool. So first, let's start with just a bigger conversation around what books can do for your brand. You know, I've been teaching for years personal branding, superstar branding. And for me, one of the most easy, effective ways for someone to immediately be positioned as a leader in my eyes is to have published a book, and not just any book, right? Because it's not just about any old thing, but like a really great book that synthesizes and encapsulates what this person is all about. Why do you think publishing a book is so powerful?
Yeah. And you know, books are just so incredible because for me, a book is a unique expression of a person in the world. It's like the tangible result of a soul message that a person has of their methods, their secrets, their wisdom, their insights, all in this tangible product that you give. And in many ways, a book is a product, but it's also almost like a sacred gift you give to your clients, your prospects, your fans, your tribe. And it's a way to generate revenue for you and build your brand and your business and your credibility out there while also making this huge impact on people's lives and truly making a difference in the world. So that's why I love books, and that's why a book can truly become your brand ambassador out in the world.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what are some of the benefits of doing a book? Like, what are the outcomes that you can generate from having a book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a book is, first of all, it's just this wonderful credibility piece, right? And when you give it to clients and prospects, they're more likely to do business with you. They're going to remember you. Even if they don't read the book, they're going to see your name on that book cover, and they're going to know that you're an expert in that particular subject and you have that body of knowledge. And in the book, of course, you're going to include your insights and you have your stories, your personal stories, and it creates an emotional bond. So again, they're going to want to do business with you, refer people to you. And if you're a speaker, a book can help you land speaking gigs and garner higher speaking fees. And if you're a thought leader or a visionary, again, a book can catapult you in your industry so that you stand out among others in your industry or even others who have written books on the same topic. It says that you are someone who is an expert in this field, and it can generate, like I said, credibility, revenue, and influence for you.
And you know, one thing that you prompted in me when you were talking about all this is that another thing that it can do is really help to filter out people, right? Like if you're using your book to get it as a way to attract business, it can really establish, well, here's who I really am. Here are my values. Here's who's not a fit for me. So people can self-select out and in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant. And a book is also so great because once you have your brand and your values in this wonderful document, including the cover, you can create all these social media posts, blog posts, videos, and just other products, and even workshops and events and webinars based on the content of that book that, again, extend your brand and set you apart in the marketplace.
Okay, so just to recap, it's great for credibility, for branding, for bonding and connecting with your people, landing speaking gigs, raising your fees, standing out among the competition, establishing your values, and even as a place to pull content and repurpose content among other platforms down the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So given that it does all these amazing things and, you know, there's such a big market for books, what are some of the challenges that prevent people from doing a book, and why do so few people actually end up doing it?
Yeah, when I talk to our potential authors, a lot of times what they confide in me is that they may know how to write, but they're overwhelmed about how to put a book together. How do they organize it? Or they have all these ideas in their head and they don't know how to put it on paper, or they don't have time because they're busy running a business and doing what they're really good at. And there's this myth about writing a book being a struggle and having to stay up till midnight, or, you know, through the wee hours of the night writing it.
Right? Or wake up early, which to me is even worse.
Exactly. Or maybe they've written a manuscript, or if they started to write and they go, oh my God, does anyone actually want to read this? I mean, does this make me sound like an expert? Or, you know, I have all these personal stories, but how is that going to make me sound like an authority, right? But I want to tell my personal stories, but I want to sound really good too, you know? So there's this. And then of course, there's the publishing side of it. Oh my God, how do I navigate Amazon, CreateSpace? Do I get a literary agent? How do I publish this thing? Blah, 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 blah. And then lastly, you know, how am I going to really, create a book that, again, sets me apart, that other people want to read and buy, that really does make an impact in the world, and that helps me achieve my goals for having a book. So, you know, these are all concerns that we hear from people day in and day out about the books. And even top authors, you know, we've worked with Michael Gerber, and we just edited his 7th book. And, you know, he's the author of the E-Myth book series. And after he sent in his last manuscript, he sent an email and he said, what do you think? Please be gentle with me.
Aww.
You know, so yeah. So even international best-selling authors, they still want to know, is it okay? Is my book okay? You know, do people really want to read it? So I think that's the biggest concern, you know, that people want to know, is it okay? Am I okay?
Mm. So they struggle with the same things that I guess we all do, right? Am I good enough? So let's say somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, I get it. I've known it for a while. I need to write a book. I want to write a book. I want it to be awesome. What advice do you have in terms of what does someone need to have to start? Like, what are the elements of a great book?
So, you know, we have a system for getting a book done to write, brand, and publish that we've used dozens of times. And I would say that, you know, the steps, there are very clear steps. But one of the first things that we do when we take people through this is to plan the book. And one of the first things we do is to discover a person's heart message, because everyone is unique. And that unique message that each person has is kind of like, I like to call it the soul message or the soul imprint that a book has that makes their book so heartfelt and different and unique, and that sets it apart from hundreds or even thousands of books out there on the same topic.
And is this something that even a book that's
full on about business and, you know, strategy. Would that kind of book also have a heart message that sounds very, I don't know, I'm going to be, you know, devil's advocate here. Is that like only for woo-woo books, or do all books need that?
All books need it, no matter what genre, all books.
Got it.
And the reason is because if you don't have a heart message, your book is just a collection of information.
Mm.
And anybody can look it up on Google. At best, it's a bunch of techniques and methods. But it's not unique. It's not something that makes that person stand out, and it's not something that resonates. So let me give you an example. Here's a heart message of an author we worked with recently. And I'm kind of, you know, pulling this from my memory, so it may be a little bit off, but the words are pretty much there. So this heart message is, raise consciousness to help the world. Guess what that topic was? Well, that book was actually about wealth creation. Mm. It was a wealth management book. So, you know, and here's another one. Your life is filled with health, joy, and adventure. Guess what that book was about?
Hmm.
It was a cookbook for college students.
Mm.
So you see how a heart message is a universal message that appeals to everyone and yet is unique. And when you have a heart message, your book becomes that inner expression of you shared in the world, and then all your points, all the topics that you want to cover in your book become part of the expression of your heart message.
So Helen, now I want to ask you, because you said something, you said that it appeals to everyone, but I also know how much you focus on helping authors find a niche.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? Like, how important is it to have a narrow focus? And how can you have a narrow focus if it appeals to everyone?
Yeah. So the thing is that a heart message can come across as being naive, Pollyanna-ish, and in the worst case, even condescending and arrogant, right? So the way to have that appeal is to frame it as a problem. Frame it in a way that people want to hear your heart message rather than like just spilling your guts, because people don't want to hear that. It's like obnoxious, right? So you need to frame it as presenting the problem that the reader has first, and then your message becomes a solution. So let me go back to my example of Nisa Burns, who is my chef. She came to me when she was 19 and we launched her book at 21. And her book is called Kitchenability. And so the way we framed it is, in the introduction, we said, this is something like this, okay, in the introduction, because I'm just saying it off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you miss your mom's or another loved one's cooking. Maybe you're afraid of gaining the dreaded freshman 15. Maybe you want to cook, but you don't know how. On top of that, you're trying to figure out what you're going to major in and how you're going to make this way in the world.
Mm.
This cookbook is for you, the confused, overwhelmed, undernourished, frazzled, over junk fooded college student. Kitchenability is about easy, affordable, healthy food. Your life is an adventure towards health and happiness and adventure. So you see how I first framed the problem and then I shared the heart message.
Okay, got it.
So once you frame the problem that your reader has being in their world, and then when you share your solution via your heart message, and then, of course, all the topics that you're going to share in your book, your reader is eager to hear it because they hear it as a solution to their problem rather than you pontificating about what you want to say.
Got it. Okay. So what I'm hearing is you get really clear about who the audience is,
frame the problem that the audience faces, and then the solution, even though it could appeal to everybody else, is really aimed at them and having this heart message for this particular audience.
Exactly. And that's how it becomes your niche audience, right? Because a book, you're really just speaking to one person at a time, who become millions of one person at a time, right? So it's a very intimate conversation with one person, really getting where they're at and then sharing what you have to share.
Okay. Well, speaking of millions of one persons, what does it take for a book to become a bestseller? And can you talk a little bit about what that means, bestseller? Because a lot of people throw that word around these days because they, you know, were number one on Amazon for an hour on the day that they launched. So what does it take to be a real bestseller? What does it mean to be a bestseller? And how do you do it?
Absolutely. You know, the blessing of the age that we live in now is that anyone can become a published author, you know, within a week, getting it on Amazon. And the curse, of course, is that anyone can become an author, right? And there's so many bad books out there. And so these days, a bestseller can mean an Amazon bestseller, as you said, that's been, you know, up for a day, and as little as 30 people have bought it, depending on what category it's in. Traditionally, bestseller has meant a book that was on the New York Times bestseller list, which tracks book sales in bookstores.
Okay.
However, you know, these days, bookstores sell probably only about 30% of the books that are sold in the marketplace.
Wow.
Amazon sells 60% of books that are sold.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So bestseller is actually a very fluid term these days. So, you know, the thing is that the real bestsellers are the books that continue to sell over time, that people refer and give and recommend over time. So, you know, I think of books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, which has been around for, you know, I don't know, 15 years. Timothy Ferris, 4-Hour Work Week, that continues to be, or that was on the bestseller list for, I don't know, you know, I think as long as a year or even like several years, right? These are the classics. These are books that people look to, or even E-Myth, for example, you know, that was published in 1985 and it's still a classic. So, but what makes a book really, you know, have that longevity? It is the quality of the book. It is the content. It is the universality of the book. So even books in the memoir genre, in the fiction genre, even the children's section, what makes a real bestseller, meaning like there's sales over the long haul, really comes back to the quality of the content, which is why we put so much emphasis on the quality of the writing itself, the voice, the message, telling the story in a compelling way that people want to keep reading it and say, oh my God, what happens next? Even in a business book, oh my God, what happens next? Oh my God, you know, what do I do next? Or wow, I was suffering from this problem. You just helped me solve that one. Now I want to solve the next problem. And then I want to solve the next problem, so that by the end of the book, the reader experiences transformation. That's really an amazing book, is giving the reader an experience of transformation that they want to keep sharing with other people. That's my definition.
I love that definition. That's so aligned with how I want to show up in my book. So what does that take? Like, because that's where I feel like I get stuck, my clients get stuck. It's like, I know in life what it took to get this transformation. How do I convey that in a book? What is that? Stories, exercises? How do you help somebody to have a transformation when really they have to do it themselves?
Absolutely. So, you know, a transformation is going from one state of mind, which may be negative, to a positive state of mind, which is positive, right? Which is inspiring, which is filled with possibility and joy and the next level of growth, right? Expansion. So your book, is a journey, is a transformational journey that you're taking your reader on. It starts with where they are, that emotional, say, confusion or frustration or desire, you know, a desire to have maybe higher sales or a desire to have an energized, dynamic body, right? Mm. Or fantastic relationships, right? So, and I'm focusing on nonfiction books, of course, right now, but this is true in all genres, right? So a book starts with having that negative state that a person is in, and then every topic or every chapter of a book is sort of like that mini journey, that mini hero's journey of overcoming this, going on to the next win, and then next, you know, the next bad guy that you have to overcome, and learning the solutions, and then finding out how to overcome that. And then, you know, your final battle, which may be your internal demons that you have to overcome, like your mindset, right? Or whatever that is. So your nonfiction book is a series of transformational journeys with each chapter of a foe overcoming that, becoming a hero, then the next challenge. So by the end of the book, you have an overall experience of having overcome a series of challenges and reaching a new high, a new place, a new sense of wisdom, insight, and possibility.
Okay. So let's say that somebody's like, okay, I really want to do that. I know that my content can do that, but I don't want to actually write it. So what's, I know you've talked about, and I know your company provides one service that you provide is ghostwriting. I've always kind of thought of ghostwriting as cheating, but at the same time, it sounds really appealing to have somebody else do it for me. Can you really publish a great book with somebody else doing the heavy lifting?
Absolutely. So the gift of being a ghostwriter, which I've been blessed with, is to be able to pull out the stories of that person, the insights, the stories, the methods, the strategies through interviews. So we typically interview our authors, right? Anywhere from 12 hours to 25 hours, depending on the length of the book. And we know what kinds of questions to ask so that we pull out the deepest, most interesting, and sometimes even funny, you know, explanations, stories, narrative, and more importantly, stories, the personal stories, the good stuff, the bad stuff, client experiences, so on. And that creates that stickiness and that bond with the reader. And as a ghostwriter, you know, we're not credited as ghostwriters, we're credited as editors or even collaborative partners, collaborative writers. But for the most part, our authors credit us as editors and partners in the book. So we're able to do that. And then in terms of writing, again, it's using the words, the voice, the message of that author. So it's theirs, you know, it's conveying what they want to say and conveying it in the highest level possible. But we also employ storytelling techniques. So the thing about storytelling, a great story is something where people go, okay, but then what happened? Oh, I got that, but then what happened? So what we're doing is we're taking the words, the ideas, the experiences of the author, and we're sharing it in a way that the reader wants to keep reading, that they feel they're heard and gotten, and they want to know more, and they want to keep going.
Got it. So really, it's the ghostwriter, what they provide is the is truly simply the techniques of writing the story, but the content really comes from the person, and there's no shame in it, right? In using a ghostwriter, it's a viable option if you've got all the content and the stories and you just don't know how to put it together.
Absolutely. So one thing that we're really good at as ghostwriters, or maybe say very careful and diligent about, is making sure to pull out the content and using the content of that particular author. So for example, our team has ghostwritten a lot of books for a lot of celebrity real estate investors who have television shows, and you know, they're very well known nationally and internationally. But we never refer or use the content from previous authors. In fact, mm-hmm. we start with a beginner's mind. So for instance, you know, I know what a mortgage is. I could tell you how to flip a house. I could tell you how to invest in tax liens. But when I'm working with an author, I always start with the basics because that's how a reader is going to be. Well, what exactly is a mortgage? I've heard of that, but can you explain that? And so we know how to ask the questions that an author can share in their way. And sometimes some authors are even insulted by questions that I ask because they'll be like, oh, don't you know that? Why are you asking me this? You know, like, why am I working with a ghostwriter who doesn't even know my industry or know what I'm talking about? And what I have to explain is that, no, we know the answers, but we want your answers to the questions because then we get your voice. We get your take, right? So a really skilled ghostwriter knows how to ask the right questions to bring it out. They're not adding their own knowledge and opinion to the writing.
Got it. Okay. All right. So Helen, are there certain, I should have probably asked this earlier when we were talking about bestsellers and how do books work, but are there certain categories that are especially hot? And is it a good idea to try to orient your book toward a hot category? Or is it better to just say, this is what I'm here to write, I'm going to write it, and, you know, to hell with market research? Like, what's your take on how much to orient your book toward a specific outcome?
Yeah. So, you know, I firmly believe in being authentic in your soul message. I also firmly believe in being of service to the world and your audience. And for me, the confluence of those two is what a brand is about. A brand is your message, your graphics, your design to the world that expresses who you are internally, right? So part of our process is looking at, well, what's already on Amazon in your category? What are the reviews saying about books in your category so that you can create an amazing book and using the language of your audience? So the content is still going to be true and authentic to you, but if you're, you know, aware of how your audience feels and you're able to share it in a way that they're wanting it, then you're going to be serving the market.
So it's really about both. It's really about saying, here's my soul's message. This is what I'm up to, what I care about. And here's what the market leads. And really finding that intersection or confluence, as you said, between those two elements. Are there any other elements that need to be considered?
You know, I will say that a book these days needs to also create a community. A book is the kind of like, shall we say, the content anchor for your community. You know, it's the language that they're going to use. It's the concepts that your community is going to use. And you're so brilliant at that, Michelle, you know, creating communities. And the book is sort of like the written guide to all of that. So the community, the online access, the events, the workshops, that's what brings it alive, right? And then taking your content and putting it online for your marketing, for, you know, social media, videos, all that sort of stuff, blogs, websites, all that sort of stuff, right? So your book is that, like I said, it's almost like your content anchor and you build everything around it.
Beautiful. And then from there, you know, what I love about this way of operating is your book becomes, like you said, the anchor point where, you know, you can get speaking engagements and your content is in there and clients can say, hey, you know, I want you to speak about this. And you can also use it as revenue generation because you can say, you know, how would you feel or would you like for everybody to be able to walk away with a book once I'm done with my speech? And if the client says yes, then potentially you can sell them books to give to every one of their attendees. So, you know, you can use your book as the cornerstone of your content and also as a way to drive revenue without necessarily having to hustle books.
Absolutely. You know, one of our authors, her name is Lee Brown, and she is a brilliant sales expert. She's a speaker. And when she came to us, she had about 12 different speaking topics. And she had maxed out all the different types of conferences and events and association gatherings that she could speak at for her particular industry. And she was looking for a way to break out beyond that. And so when we worked together, we created a book, and the title is called Outrageous Authenticity. Outrageous Authenticity is her book. And the subtitle is You Are Your Best Sales Weapon. And when we came out with the book, and it was very small, only 88 pages, you know, you can hold it in your palm, but very, very classy looking. When we came out with the book, she created her website around that. Everything was branded, all the colors matched. And what happened was that event managers looked at her topics and they said, we want outrageous authenticity. We want you to speak on that because that's the one that you have a book for.
Wow.
Yeah. And all of a sudden her speaking opportunities went up. She's speaking around the world. She has fans around the world. And what's great is that she's now broken out into other industries that she's speaking at. She spoke at a tech industry conference, you know, other demographics of people that she would never reach before, because she now has a universal message with her branded book. And she is known for her brand of outrageous authenticity. So the book is, you know, is a piece of her overall brand of the message of outrageous authenticity. And the money isn't necessarily in the book per se. A lot of people think that it's not about the book. The money is in the speaking gigs, the workshops, the consulting that you do, all that other stuff. So the book is part of a larger ecosystem, but again, like, it is the anchor and the entry point for all those other things, ways to generate ROI with a community that you build.
Got it. And what comes up for me there too is, I've come across, I have a lot of content myself, Helen, mm-hmm. and I'm curious about, you know, is it better to do a book or is it better to potentially do like a workbook, or does it make sense to have a book and a workbook? A lot of the people in our audience listening are superstars. They're speakers, coaches, authors, and they have all this content, and we're talking about an ecosystem. Does it make sense to maybe publish both?
Absolutely. So as I said, your book is your anchor. It's where you discover your heart message. And oh, by the way, I just want to say that the heart message that you discover may never actually be articulated in the book itself, but it's where you come from about the book. It's the heart and the essence of the book that infuses the entire book. Okay. So your book has your heart message, your methods, your stories, and so on. And more importantly, your book is creating the emotional connection. It's where you're building rapport with people, getting to know people, right? But your workbook is the how-to part of it. So your specifics, your charts, your worksheets, your meditation processes, your steps, all of that, your mathematical equations and stuff, that is in your workbook that you can print out, and it can also be your online course. But because you've laid out your system or your topics or your qualities in your book, your online course and your workbook can be the follow-up that people engage in to get the specific how-tos. So let me share with you how this plays out, okay? So for example, one of our authors is Hector Garcia, and he has a energetic healing book. He's a brilliant energy healer. And we helped him to write, brand, and publish his book, and we got his book up on Amazon, Kindle. I don't think he did Audible, certainly printed books. And so he's attracting people through Amazon, because Amazon reaches people, you know, across the country and even around the world. So people are coming in, they're reading about him, his stories, his amazing methods, and the healing that's possible through his method. And then they learn more about him, they go to his website, There's seminars, there's online courses you can take, and then they get more of the how-to because they're already emotionally bonded. And then they come to his actual events and workshops in San Diego and attend, and they get the experience of it, right? Of how to do it. Or, you know, they come for a 3-day workshop on how to be a healer, or they come and actually get healed and have healing sessions with him. So the book itself is maybe about $15, but a workshop might be a few hundred dollars. Healing course, a 3-day event, you see how it builds from there. And so you're not trying to make money with your book. You're trying to reach people and meet them where they are, and just sort of give them a sense of what you can provide and how you can solve their problem. But then the actual of that, how to do it, the nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty, is in the course, the online course, the workshops, et cetera. And then that's where you make your money.
Got it. All right, Helen, as we start to, I mean, I could talk to you all day about this. And So I'm curious, you know, there's so much more. What's one other big piece of advice, final words of wisdom that you really want to make sure our superstars listening to this interview get when it comes to publishing?
Yes. So there's been a shift in the publishing world and in the world in general. But people have this myth that a publisher out there is going to pay them a big advance, or that the publisher is going to take care of the marketing for them, and that they have to have this big, you know, be-all, end-all book. Well, the truth is that nowadays you are your best marketer because you are the brand, right? You are the superstar. You're the one, you're the best ambassador, and your book is your method for sharing your message. So what that also means is that it's actually better to write shorter, smaller books in a series, because your ranking is going to go up on Amazon with more books than to have necessarily one big 200 plus page tome thought leader book. When you have a series of short books, you can actually speak to more focused audiences, and you can have more marketing flexibility, and you can have more leverage and visibility out there by having more and shorter books. So I would say, you know, that has changed. And so just know that, and know that you are your marketer, your best marketer. So whatever model you choose for publishing, whether it's traditional or self-publishing or whatever, know that you're the one who's the messenger, not the publishing company.
So I love this about that it's better to write shorter, smaller books, because that's just easier, right? I mean, I think that there's a lot of pressure, at least I feel or have felt pressure to like get my magnum opus out into the world. Like the book that has it all, the Star Wars of my life, you know? And so, and what you're saying is no, don't do that. As a matter of fact, do one thing at a time, short and sweet, and then just publish lots of them.
Exactly. And, you know, and people know that we all go through changes, and that a book written at one stage of our lives may be true for that stage, but then, you know, we're going to grow and evolve. And so having a series of books is almost like sharing your journey over time. Right. And, you know that, Michelle, your first book was true for where you were at that time. And the book you have now is who you are now. And your future books are going to be even more more focused and wise and nuanced and, you know, even greater, because that's who you are becoming, bigger and better and greater and more amazing. So each of your books kind of can reflect that, but it's going to appeal to someone who is at that stage of life or their journey where you were at that time. So yeah, having a series is a wonderful way to not only speak to different audiences, but also to share where you've been and your journey over time.
Well, speaking of your journey over time, Helen, at this point, I would love to have you share your story. How did this happen for you? How did you get into this field? What brought you here?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been writing since I was 5 years old, And I published my first book when I was 8 years old, using, you know, colored crayons and writing construction paper and stapling it together. So that was my first book. And I grew up to become a business journalist. And I wrote for publications like MSNBC.com, Business Week, San Francisco Chronicle, and many, many other publications. And I got the privilege of working with top entrepreneurs and thought leaders. And they started asking me to ghostwrite their workbooks. And that's how I actually started ghostwriting. And eventually one of them asked me to ghostwrite his book. And I was super, super excited about writing his book. And it was just like, oh, wow, I can reach and impact all these people's lives through his amazing experiences. Except that, you know, my first book was really quite a challenge to write. Do you want to hear about my first book?
Please. Yes, please tell us.
So, you know, I was so excited to write this, ghostwrite this book for this top entrepreneur, and his marketing manager had set up the television show for it. The radio ads, at that time it was radio, the marketing for it, the workshops, the coaching sessions, all that for it. And all they needed was the book, because they had found previously that all these marketing campaigns actually take off when the entrepreneur launches a book. So they were waiting for me to write this book. I was so excited. And I delved into it. I wrote about the author. I got his hero's journey. I wrote about how he had started in bankruptcy. He had a medical condition and eventually clawed his way up to becoming a multi-millionaire with a television show sharing his entrepreneurial secrets. And so I wrote about all that. And I was so excited. And I'm in my living room pacing with my cell phone. The marketing manager and the author are on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, is this going to be the next Think and Grow Rich, like Napoleon Hill's book or Rich Dad, Poor Dad? You know, and I'm so excited. And the marketing manager says, this is a good book, but it's not marketable. We have to start again.
Oh.
Yeah. And I, of course, did what anybody in this kind of situation would do. I went to my room and I lay on my bed for probably about 3 days.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my God, you know, maybe I'm this award-winning journalist, but I can't write books. And maybe I should just give up on this dream of writing books. And maybe I'm not meant to do this. Maybe I'm just not good enough. And I was ready to give up. And I thought to myself, you know what? No, this is my dream. I have to move forward with this. Plus, I had promised the author that I would do this book. So I got out of bed. I went to the bookstores. I studied all these best-selling business books and looked at what made them marketable, what made them compelling and sticky to read and sellable, right? And I handed in the manuscript again, and I'm in my living room again on my cell phone, and I'm with the marketing manager and I'm with the author, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I hope this is going to work. I hope, you know, if this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the marketing manager says, this is marketable. We can publish. And the book came out.
Yay.
Yes, thank you. And the book came out. And after that, there were 5 editions. It was sold to tens of thousands of people. People I met said that it had changed their lives and their families' lives forever because of all of what they had learned and been inspired by. And, you know, I spoke to the author last year, and he said that that book had become the anchor of a new business division that is now worth $100 million. $100 million.
So I need to know, and I'm sure everybody on the line needs to know, what did you discover from all that homework? What is the difference between a good book and a marketable book?
Absolutely. So a marketable book shares methods, techniques that the person can use, that the person can, that the reader can apply in their life. And the personal stories provide the inspiration to do it. So if you just read a person's personal story, it can be inspiring, but you go, well, I still don't know what to do.
So a good book is one where it's a good story. It's a good read. Thank you so much for entertaining me. But a marketable book, specifically in the space of using it for business as an anchor for business, it has to have content that other people can apply.
Absolutely.
Explicitly.
Exactly. And I don't mean, like I said, you know, the stuff that would go in the workbooks or the worksheets. It has to have steps, methods, or principles that the person can go, oh, okay, this is the overall guideline, or this is the quality. Like, you know, if it's not a step to check your balance, your for investing, then it's a quality about I need to have courage, or I need to have faith. You know what I mean? Or it might be this is what I need to do kind of thing. You see what I mean? And when you combine that with the personal stories, then you have a powerful book that people can use and they're inspired by, and they have a way to move forward because they now think of you as their mentor and the expert that they are going to follow.
Beautiful. All right. So how do people, I know that you work with authors, you work with coaches, consultants, speakers, and people who are interested in publishing. How can people get in touch with you? And do you have any resources that you'd like to offer to our listeners today?
Absolutely. I have a free ebook called Write, Brand, Publish, and it details the steps that it takes to get a book out, kind of like what we've discussed, but even in more detail. And for those of you listening, if you go to our website, authorbridgemedia.com, I'm happy, just, you know, log in over there, contact us, and I'm happy to send you a free copy of that book. And again, the website is authorbridgemedia.com, and just mention Michelle's podcast, and I'm happy to make sure that you get that free gift, that ebook. And on top of that, if you'd like to have a conversation, just to really look at what it takes to get your book done, my team is more than happy to explore that with you and discover how we can get your book out there and really making a difference, growing your business, and having an impact in the world.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Helen. Before I let you go, I have two final questions for you. Mm-hmm. The first is, what book has impacted you the most in your life?
Oh, that's such a great question. I love that, Michelle. Thank you so much. You know, I have to say that the book that's made the most difference for me is the autobiography that Mahatma Gandhi wrote. He's such a great example of nonviolence, courage, and profound wisdom in the world. And that's probably the most profound book that I'd like to share with the listeners today.
Beautiful. Yeah, that is a great story. I have not read the book, but now you've pretty much added it to the top of my list. So thank you. And then Helen, last question is a fun question. Mm-hmm. I just did karaoke last night, as you might be able to hear from my hoarse voice, because it was my birthday and I sang my heart out. If I were able to get you into a karaoke room with me, what song would you sing?
Don't stop believing.
Hold on to that feeling. I love that song. Woo!
Yeah.
I can't believe that in 50X number of episodes, nobody's ever picked that song. I love it. On that note, thank you so much for your time today,
thank
Helen.
You,
I appreciate this conversation. Really, so much value and content. And I can just feel your passion and your heart for the work you do. And I'm so grateful for you. And I look forward to getting to know you better and delving deeper into our relationship. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Michelle. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, I would super appreciate if you would write a review for me on iTunes. And if you're interested in hearing about our upcoming events or in working with me personally to build or grow a business that's aligned with you, your gifts, your purpose, and your lifestyle, then visit superstaractivator.com to see our programs and offerings. Till next time, superstar, go forth and shine.